Hello, everybody. This is me. This is the Street Preacher. And, you know, y'all got to forgive me on this one because I used to do this one. I used to do a monthly rant where I would just go off because of all the things. And, you know, back then, I was kind of in a different place, in a different mind frame. So I later on said, well, maybe I shouldn't have been really, you know, doing that. But now I'm thinking I probably was doing exactly what I needed. You know, what God was, you know, using my voice, which people already say is loud enough because it's got so much bass in it, that using my voice to try to, you know, make the point, to shake someone up, to make them think for 1 second. Just think. Just stop and think and say, why is all this taking place? I mean, really. I mean, people act like the walls are burning down, the sky is falling, but they act like they want to stay right there and let it fall on them. No matter what God does, no matter how wicked the world gets, it doesn't seem to faze people. Well, until they wake up one day and then the government is saying you have to do whatever, like wear a mask, right? People thought that was extreme, or that was uncalled for, or that they weren't going to do it. Because you're not going to tell me what to do. Now, I always said, oh, but wait a minute. I don't really want to go there or this place, but I'm going there. It's like, wait a minute. What about when I said about the 666 number? I probably didn't explain it right. People thought that I was trying to make some kind of scriptural theological argument that by this company giving me a 666 number that was going to damn me to hell. Or that was going to make me lose my salvation with God. I'm like, I didn't think that. I just said, why would I want to wear, why would a Christian want to have a 666 number given to them by somebody who isn't a Christian or some kind of organization that's not representing Christianity and give them a 666 number and walk around and wear it proudly? Why would they want to do that? Why would somebody want to do that? The same way as if somebody tells you, I want you to wear a mask because there's a coronavirus out there. We want you to wear a mask because this is going to be for the good. It's for, now, before you start, I'm not an anti-mask person or I'm not a pro-mask person. I mean, I would wear a mask. I was wearing a mask. Sure was. When they said it was corona out there, and they said people were dying, and I want to give a special, but it's on the same thing, but I got to give a special special mention to somebody who was very special to me. She worked at the courts. So, you know, back in the days when I was doing my thing, I had this little thing where I had to go pay some fines in court. And when I met this lady, we became friends because we had the same birthday. So the minute, you know, they always look you up by your birthday today. They say, what's your birthday? And I told her. And she said, oh, that's my birthday. So we became real good friends. And that was years ago. That was back in 2018 or something. So just yesterday, I was over that way. And so I said, let me go visit Miss Kim Cagle. So I went downtown, park, paid for my little parking, walked up the sideway. I saw there was some girl coming out in handcuffs. I said, oh, Lord, I might need to leave. They may be arresting people today. I said, she probably, poor child, she was looking so pitiful and she was looking so sad. I don't know what she did, but there they were. She was handcuffed and they were taken. I said, ooh, wait. So that's the consequences of, you know. So I go up there and I'm waiting, and it's this guy talking to these two guys. I'm looking for her, and I don't see her. And he's this guy talking to these two guys, and they, you know. So eventually one guy says, well, let me go. I'm going to go get the paperwork. So he starts to walk off. So I walk up. I said, hey, excuse me, sir. I said, is Miss Kim Cagle here today? And he said, oh, man, I'm sorry. She passed away. I'm like, what? And I heard, and I don't want to, you know, the lady's gone, and I don't want to say anything that's not true. So if this is what I heard, but they said she passed away from COVID. And, you know, it was back when COVID was, you know, so that really touched me. You know, and so for that reason, I would wear a mask. I would wear a mask if I was somewhere and they said it'll help some people, but I wouldn't. But you know what? I wouldn't condemn anybody who said they don't want to wear it. I wouldn't say if you was a Christian, you'd wear it. I wouldn't say if you cared about people, you'd wear it. I just say that's their choice. That's between them and God. Same way my 666 number was. Between me and God. And God told me he didn't want me to have it. So, and it was Corona that really, because I was going to quit the job, but, you know, I was going to quit the job, but a lot of people, they were arguing the fact that there wasn't, oh, 666, that don't mean anything. It's just a number. No, to me it wasn't. You don't have the number on you. So anyway, so that's what so today though, we're faced with enough of that. So today we're faced with even stuff more wicked than that. You have politicians and lawmakers who are passing laws that says that parents can alter the sex of their young children? Really? Wow. Oh, so that's how the devil want to play it. Like, you're going to say a child, you're going to say a parent has the right, so much of a right, to go out and take their child, go have them to get a sex change operation, which they could grow up in life to come to regret. And it could be the worst. They feel like that's the, you know, because how's a little child going to understand something like that? How's a little child going to be able to make? But I'm saying, you're going to say a parent has the right to do that. But when you see that, heard that a parent whipped their child a little too rough, then you want to take the child away from them and you want to throw the parent in prison and all that kind of stuff. See how twisted and upside down the world has gotten? So, this is my bottom line plea to the church. Because, see, really, we the only defense against all of that. We're the only light there is in the world. Because without God, and most specifically, without Jesus Christ, if a person don't believe in God, what won't they do? I'm not going to say, hey, you know, I know some people that's Muslims, you know, and they say that their religion teaches them to be peaceful. So I'm not saying that other religions or people that believe in other gods and other saviors, whatever, besides Jesus, that they can't. That they won't teach them the same thing. But when you are going to take a child that's born as a boy or a girl and you're going to take them into, what doctor would do that? Yeah, I said that. What doctor would do that? You know, what doctor would do that? See, that's what, see, and that's what comes into play when Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evil. See how that goes now? Because, see, what is the doctor going to do? What is he going to say? Oh, I don't want to be a doctor anymore. Or I refuse to do those. Now, some doctors might say that. They might be in a position where they can say that, but the average doctor ain't going to be able to say that. They're going to go and they're going to have to do whatever operation the administration of that hospital tell them to do. And if they don't want to do that, okay, well, you go be a doctor somewhere else. But when you go to the next hospital, it's probably going to be the same thing. And then if you don't want to do it, then they're going to say, oh, what, you got a problem with people with gender? You got a problem with people who have gender? It don't matter, though. It don't matter. Because, see, if this goes on long enough, and people who don't even say it now, they'll be saying it later. They'll start saying it. They'll get caught up in it. You see how open and widespread homosexuality has become. At one point, you couldn't have got a man to come out and say, I'm gay. You couldn't have got somebody to come out and say that. But nowadays, who? People say that now to become famous. I just want to come out. And I, look, trust me. I'm not trying to bash anybody. And people say, well, what about the Christians who go out and commit adultery? Why don't you speak on that? Because, see, that's not something that's promoted. See, the church isn't saying, oh, well, it's okay if you want to have another spouse, if you want to have another wife, if you want to have a lady on the side, or if you need another guy, it's okay. We understand. See, the church ain't saying that. So the fact that people do it, okay, I was just telling somebody else. It doesn't matter who's in charge or who's what. People are people. And eventually, no matter who's in charge, if they stand there long enough and mess around long enough with all that stuff and this, they're going to get corrupted too. They're going to become corrupt. I don't care if you are King David. King David was a man that was after God's own heart. And you know what happened? The man grew up and got into his comfortable ages and had his all, and there he was on top of the roof, and there's Bathsheba over there taking a shower. Sound like a setup, don't it? Then he calls her, he tells the people to bring her over there, and he goes in there and they go in there and do whatever, David up there doing a wild thing or doing whatever, or he up in there and has sex with the woman, and what happened? Then she gets pregnant. So now, now what? Oh, righteous King David. It's finna come out, son. Yeah, we're gonna see how righteous. See, that's how the enemy play it. That's how the devil play. That's how the spiritual forces behind the scenes play it. They get you to do something and then boom. And then once you do it and you caught up in it, then he comes out and he won't put you on blast with everybody. So now what? David got to hurry up and figure this out. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just go get her husband to come back home off the war field. I'm going to get him to come off of the battlefield. And then, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm gonna take it off the battle. I'm taking him off the battlefield, and then I'm gonna say, you go spend some time with your wife. Then he'll have sex with her, and nobody'll be the wiser. Nobody. But the guy said, nah, ain't getting up that easy, buddy. No, Uriah said, you know what he said? Nah, I can't go do that, man. I can't go up in there. Go up in there and do all of that, and while my brothers are out there on the battlefield dying, I can't do that. So the man didn't I want to do it. So now King David's so desperate to keep his secret, what he does. He decides he's going to have the man knocked off. We're just going to knock him on out. You know what I mean? And on top of that, I'm going to send him with a letter in his own hand, his own death warrant in his own hand. And that's what he did. And then what happened? Then the man was, then he went and put him on the front line. He was killed. Oh, how in the world? See, that, I'd be wondering about stuff like that. So if Uriah is in heaven and David is in heaven, because I'm pretty sure David's going to be in heaven. And I would assume Uriah is going to be in heaven. So God, I don't know. I guess how you going to look at that man? And it's going to be like, ooh, they said, though. The last going to be the first. That David might have to be that man serving next. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? You had it in life. But anyway, so that's what I mean, though. King David, who was so, he was so diligent about his serving God, that he was so, that when all of his brothers and everybody else was cowering down to Goliath, he had so much faith in God, he knew God had his back. He knew God had his back. And he went to told Goliath, what you doing, bro? What you talking about? What? You defiling my God? And he told them people back there, they were sitting there, how you gonna take on Goliath? How you gonna take on Goliath? That man is a seasoned warrior. He a thug, he a gangster. You ain't nothing but a little child, boy. That man gonna kill you with no problem. David like, what you talking about? Let me tell you something, bro. David said, let me tell you what. there was a lion that came and tried to take the sheep, and I killed him with my bare hands. And then there was a bear that came and tried to take the sheep, and I did the same thing to him. And you know what? That one is going to get the same thing. And the king believed him, said, go do it. And that's what he did. He went out there, boom, with one little shot. Then all of a sudden, everybody want to jump in the fight then. Yeah, and then that's how David became king. Eventually. So now, the man done killed. He done did this. Did a deal and he done killed Uriah. And so, now, he thinking, oh, it's all done. It's all, the baby was even born by now. Oh, so it's all good now. Yeah. I mean, because really, back in those days, I mean, maybe people would be like, well, maybe Uriah got her pregnant before he left. Well, I don't know. It don't add up. Well, he came home. Remember he came home that time? Yeah, he came home. David sent and got, maybe they, you know, but he ain't there to tell the story. He ain't there to testify. Said, no, I didn't go in and have sex with him. I went back out on the field. The next thing I know, I'm put on the front lines. You know? And so, now David's sitting back. You know, I guess, you do something wrong. You sit out there and guilt yourself over it for a while. And eventually, you know, your life goes on. So, he's sitting there, and one day, the prophet comes to him, tells him a little story. He said, David, you know, there was this man. He had everything. He had all this. And he said it like the person, like this was something that really just happened. There was, this guy, like he was coming to tell him, this guy, he had everything, man. He had land, sheep, he had flocks everywhere. He had everything. And then there was this one, on his land, there was this one little servant of his that only had one little lamb. And this lamb was like a pet. It was like family. The lamb even sat at the table and ate with the man. And so this big rich ruler had somebody coming in for to visit, and he wanted to make him a special meal. So he didn't go to his flock. He went to this guy who only had one little lamb that was like a daughter to him, and took this lamb from this guy and killed it and gave it for the sacrifice as for the meal. Well, David was so mad, they were ready to kill that dude. He said, "Where he at? He gonna restore what he did times and David was saying, "This guy should die." You know what the prophet told him? "David, I'm talking about you." Ooh! But one thing about David, though. One thing about David, you got to give him. One thing. When you confronted him with his sin, he knew it. Boy, he went straight and repented. When he knew it was over, he knew God was sending him a message. He ain't playing with God. He might have played with man. He wasn't going to play with God. But it wasn't enough. God said, "Okay, yeah, that's cool. But you won't suffer for this. I gave you everything, David. I gave you the kingdom. And then on top of that, if you would have asked for more, I would have gave it to you. But you had to go take that man's wife and then kill him. So now you're going to lose that baby." Baby died too. So don't y'all be telling people they lose their child. Now, a lot of times, maybe it just happened. Sometimes, though, it could be consequences from something. Sometimes it could. It was consequences for David. That's why the baby died. That's why when I'm sitting here talking this, I'm thinking of stuff like, golly, you know, I deserve the same thing. You know, so what I want to say to the church is, you know, the world is getting dark and dark. We got to start shining the light. We got to go out to the people. We got to go out in the streets. We got to go out into with the prostitutes. We got to go out to the thieves, to the criminals. We got to go out and we got to show them that there is not just a better way. The only true way. The only true way. I heard a pastor today on the radio. He was saying about the rapture. See, the church is so convinced that, because it's clear that tribulations are coming. They say that in the Bible. But all that stuff with the rapture, it's not really clear when and how and what, but they, you know, or whatever that, even what that means. You know, so a lot of pastors say, well, before all of this, before the real hell breaks loose on earth, God's going to take his church off of the earth. You don't know that. No, you don't know that. He didn't do it for the apostles. When they went through hell, when it was illegal to be following Jesus. And when it was all points bulletins out on anybody that's connected to Jesus and supporting Jesus. You know, God didn't spare the ancient world. He didn't spare the angels. So now the church, us, we got to stop just sitting in the church on Sunday morning. And then going out all week, doing everything the world does, except maybe cuss and run out and have sex and party. But we ain't going out doing what God says. So God's going to say, okay, well, you want to say what you didn't do, but what did you do? I knew a man. God bless this man's soul, too. He's gone. He's gone, too. I knew a man used to tell me all the time. So I know I'm going to heaven. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't lie. I don't run around with fast women. I don't cheat people. I don't cuss. You say all this stuff, you know. And of course, not me, who wants to think everything is about me, back then especially. And I was drinking liquor to the point of getting, you know, I would get drunk. I was living in the man's house. And so I'm thinking, really, he taking a shot at me. Really? Because I'm like, well, he got to know I'm drinking. Now, I might not be doing some of all that stuff he's saying, but he always, you know, I don't drink. I'm like, Jesus created wine. I wouldn't go around saying just because somebody drink that makes them a sinner, because then you would be saying that Jesus was participating in sin by turning water to wine. And then why would Jesus do that if it was just a sin to drink? Now, for me, it's a sin to drink, because if I go out and start drinking, I ain't going to stop. Like they say, one is too many and 1,000 ain't enough. So the one is too many is that once you start, if you were like me and you were a person who has addiction problems or you're an alcoholic, then if you go out and take a drink or go smoke some weed or go do a drug like a fool, then thinking a lot of people who are on crack or who are on this and that, they already know. Even when they're doing it, they know that it's the crack that's messing them up. They'll say, after the, you know, they'll know it's the crack because they'll get paid Friday and by Saturday they broke. And a lot of times they ain't even go home yet. They done sit up there and worked all week, went straight to the crack house, smoked all their money up, and then they gotta go home and lie and say I was run through the three and they robbed me. Yeah, they robbed you all right. They sure did. They sold you all them drugs. And let you sit right there and give them all your money. They robbed you with that crack. So they'll say in their mind, man, and their wife will say, you know, because people don't really want to say, oh, you went out. You didn't get robbed. You was out doing drugs. They don't want to say that right then because, see, you know, they don't want to confront you with that because it's too much. They know you feel bad. They know this and this. They know that and that. So they say, oh, okay, we're going to give them a second chance. So you say in your mind, ooh, we thanks for the second chance. And I'm never messing with that stuff again because that stuff, I can't control it. So what happened? They go out and work. The rest, they work the week. And then Friday started coming up again. Uh-oh. That money started. They start thinking about that money then. And then all of a sudden, them cravings start kind of shaking them a little bit. And they start thinking about the little fun they had after this. No, I can't do it. Because my wife, if I do it, if I come back this week with no money, I can't go say I got robbed again. So if I go home again and I ain't got no money, oh, it's going to be over for me. So I ain't doing it. Uh-oh. And Friday coming, and all that day at work, all they can think about is they about to get $400 or $500 in their hand, or $600, or $700, or whatever it is. The more the merrier, and the more that the crack just take over their mind. But they still have some kind of sense to say, well, I can't do like. So what they say is, I'm just going to go over there and get one. I just need one. I got to have something. That's how drugs play it in your mind. You got to have it. But once you do the one, that's it. That's why they say one is too many. Once you take the drug and put it in you and the drug goes into your mind and alters your thinking and you become a whole different personality, the drugs basically become in control. So at that point, then you sit there, I'm going to just get one more. Oh, I don't do it. Yeah, I ain't going to tell you what to do. My money. Then you was over again and now you said, what I'm going to say this time? What I'm going to say this time. Now you're going to play it different. You're just going to go home and say, baby, you right. I can't do good. I'm just leaving, baby. You don't need nobody like me. Try to play that game. And it worked, probably, a lot of times. It worked for a while. But eventually, everybody gets tired of it. Everybody gets tired. So that's my little rant, y'all. A lot of that stuff I said, I'm not trying. You know, I'm just saying, I mean, I don't have all the answers, definitely. I definitely don't have all the answers. But I do know that Jesus is the only real answer. So that's what we have to do, right? We need, that's what we need to get ourselves to. We like God, like Jesus said, like they said in the Bible. You need to fall back in love with Jesus like you did. The same way like in any relationship, when you first met your wife. So I never got a chance to experience all that. Because I fell in love with drugs and liquor and everything. And I'm just keep it real. Like the new generation, I'm going to keep it 100, which, and tell you that for me, that's what it was. You know, I ain't care about nothing but that. I care so much about drugs, I went and slept in the streets to do them. Because nobody wanted me to be around. So I said, well, I just go live in the streets. I couldn't afford to live anywhere. I couldn't afford to live. I was one of them people. Get paid Friday. Whenever I got some money, it was gone. So, and the only thing that saved me was Jesus. Everybody, my mama, the rehab people, the police, the courts, all these people, they tried to do whatever they could to rehabilitate me. But until Jesus came in and gave me the power to say no. I'm sorry, Ms. Reagan, I couldn't say no. Just say no? I couldn't just say no. Now, maybe I could have just said no before I ever tried it. Or maybe I could have said no, but I went long enough into it to where you could not just say no anymore. So, anyway, I think I'm trying to go down to the mission today, and I had to go down there and just talk to, you know, I want to go down there and let the people get to, because I lived at the mission for a long time, for years, on and off. I spent probably in rehabs and missions. I probably spent up to 5-6 years of time in or more than that in rehabs, homeless shelters, on the streets. I didn't really go to jail. I was one of them people in the streets. They say, you ain't no real gangster, Shoal. I ain't finna go out here and do nothing to go to prison. I went to jail for something one time, you know. A little, and really, when I look back on it, it was God getting me off the streets, because I had got into all kind of crazy stuff with these guys in the hood. And part of them, and I was back when I was naive, people would probably knock me off in a minute. So, God got me out of there. And the way I know it, because when I went to jail, the police treated me like I was one of them almost. I was working in a shop, working over there, was at the Christmas party. But the cop used to come back there. It was a cop used to come back in the back and had to do this little car. It was a crazy car trick. This man would sit there. Shout out to, I think his name was Sergeant Joyner. And he'd be one locked down, damn it. It's crazy. He come back there and he had a deck of cards. He'd let you look at it and everything else. You see his regular deck of cards. He'd take them and shuffle them and blah, 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 stack, put them into two piles and tell you to turn them over. And when you turn them over, all the red cards on one side and all the black cards on the other side. Segregating. I'm playing, but it was a cool little, I was like, golly, it'd be crazy. But you know, that's the thing. But anyway, like I said, everything ain't what it seems. Y'all don't buy no beans from, you know, no bean stalk beans and all that stuff is just fables. Ain't no Santa Claus coming on the 25th. Ain't no Santa Claus coming to town. Ain't no Easter Bunny just did this and this. You know, it's fun and games and all that, but it's time to get real. Because, see, the enemy just going all out crazy. He going all out. Because he know the time is short. So it's time to put up or shut up, as they say. But anyway, y'all, thank you for listening. Hey, do me a favor. Subscribe, because I'm about to. Yeah, if you like what I'm saying. If you like what I'm saying, or if you don't like what I'm saying, and you want to come on there and say, hey, what you mean about, why you hating on the gender? I'm not. No, because you know what? I'm hating on somebody who would take a child and have their gender change. But somebody that's a grown up, they say they want to be a woman and they a man. Oh, go right ahead. That's your business. That's your business. I don't care. Because that's what life is. Life is, God created you. You get a choice to do what you want to do with it. You know, and who knows? You might be right. Maybe the Christians are crazy. Maybe we crazy. Maybe there's not a God. You might be right. Because see, my belief in God is only faith. It's faith. I'm having faith. But my faith in God is like, it can't be shaken. So if your faith in the world is the point where it can't be shaken, because you believe so strongly there isn't a God, as strong as I believe there is, hey, please enjoy yourself. I just want to let you know, though, hell awaits. People think that's cruel that God will do that. Mm-mm, no, it ain't. Mm-mm, that's justice. That's kindness. Because really, a person, think about it like this. God has set up there, created you, gave you all of this. Now, we right. The truth of the matter was that God created you, gave you air to breathe. You breathe up all this air all your life. You ate up all his food off of the earth. You enjoyed this beautiful world, and you couldn't even say thank you. And then on top of that, when you was dead in your sins, he sent his son down here to let him be crucified for you. And then you said you didn't want, and you rejected that. So it's only two places you're going to be able to live, either in heaven or in hell. And you ain't going to go to heaven if you haven't, you know, you ain't going to heaven. Mm-mm, don't let nobody tell you that just because you think because you deserve to go because of what you did. I remember now, I was telling you about the guy that used to tell me, I know I'm going to heaven because I don't do this, I don't do that. So he used to tell me that so many times. I got so tired of hearing it because, like I said, I thought he was taking shots at me. So I know how people think they feel when they think I'm taking shots at them. So he came, I had my answer ready. I said, ooh, I know he's going to bring it up one day. And when he does, I know what I'm going to say. I got it all ready. And it wouldn't take long. He said it all the time. He came up there one day and he said, I know I'm going to heaven. This was the last time he said it too. He said, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't chase women. I don't blah, blah, blah. He got through. I said, Dad, I used to call him Dad. He wasn't my dad. I said, Dad, I might not have said that. I said, where in there is you going to heaven? Because Jesus died for your sins on the cross, on Calvary. He was hung on the cross. He was born. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified on a cross and executed and murdered. Then he was buried. He really wasn't murdered. He laid his life down, but you had to let the process go in the material world like that. So he was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose up and defeated death. And when I said that, he said, well, I don't have to say that. That's understood. I said, no, that's the only thing you can say. As far as you going to heaven, the other stuff isn't even a reason you're going. But the thing is you want to give yourself credit. You want to boast in you. I told him that. I bet you he was mad about it too. I said, the Bible, I didn't really tell him like that, but I said, the Bible said don't boast. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling him, I'm like, okay. The very definition of boasting is giving yourself credit. Or talking up, tooting your own horn, giving your own self, touting your own accomplishments. That's what boasting is. So when you say, I don't do all these things, I'm so holy and good, you're boasting. So, anyway. that's my little rant for today, y'all. Thanks for letting me get it out. That's what I need to do. Because I be calling people. And they don't really want. I be calling people. And, they, you know, people be in the middle of doing something. So anybody who is like, yeah, brothers, preach it. Anybody who or whatever or want to be entertained or they think it's funny or whatever it is. Because, you know, you might laugh a long time. You might keep listening and the Holy Spirit grab you. Whoa, the Holy Spirit grab you one day. And all of a sudden you wake up and you see it. You like Paul, you wake up and you see it and you hear it. You feel it. So, thanks for listening. Like I said, y'all, give me a subscribe or whatever. I don't know if you can like on Anchor, on the podcast, but whatever. Hey, I appreciate it, y'all. You know, y'all be blessed. And church, hey, it's time. We got to get out there, y'all. We got to get out there. You know what I'm saying? The enemy on the way. He already here. The Antichrist, and you heard he was coming. I heard a song. I said, the Antichrist is here, and you heard he was coming. For real. So, y'all, love y'all. Peace. I'm out. Street Preacher.